Good morning, everyone. Everyone will gather around their seats and grab a hymnal, and we'll get our service started off this morning. I want to welcome you to Thomas Village Baptist Church. I want to welcome all those out in Facebook land, out there in the parking lot, and listen to our FM transmitter on 88.1. So it's a beautiful day outside, and we're just so glad you're here. So everyone grab a hymnal, and we're going to start off number 16, "O Worship the King."
First off, I'd like to say Happy Mother's Day.
Amen.
If there's anyone in here that maybe any mothers here that their kids hadn't got to speak with them this morning or whatever and they've not been told, let me tell you, Happy Mother's Day and we love you, okay? Just a couple notes there real quick. The new devotionals are out in the foyer. If you like one, feel free to them. They're sitting out there. There's no service tonight. Won't be any Awana or service. Back at normal, I guess, Wednesday night. Be a deacon's meeting. It was rescheduled from last week. Be tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. And pastor, this morning is going to be in Luke chapter 10, starting verse 38. And let's continue to be in prayer for the Bobby Jesse family. And then also let's remember James Lane, the Norton police chief that was shot this past week. Yeah. And then also a good friend of mine, Steve Smith, who's still in ICU, having a lot of serious health issues. If you could help pray for him, I'd greatly appreciate it. Let's remember the E.C. Bledsoe family then. Be in prayer for them. Anyone else this morning? Let's go to the Lord. Dear Lord, our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning to say thank you, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. Thank you for everything you do for us. Thank you for the many, many blessings you do for us every day, Lord. I know we take them for granted, Lord, but most of all, thank you for your Son. Thank you for salvation. Lord, we ask you to be with us this morning. We ask you to be with us during our service. Be with Brian this morning as he brings the message. Be with each and every one of those families we just mentioned, Lord, and touch them, heal them, whatever they need, Lord. We thank you so much. We love you. And we thank you for each and every one mother that's here this morning as well. We love you and thank you again, Lord. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen.
Amen.
Let's stand and sing another song to the Lord, number 571, "Let Others See Jesus in You." 571.
How bad is it for this world?
Good to see you this morning, but before we begin, let's just stop and take a moment to recognize how good the Lord has been to us since we were all gathered together last Sunday, and let's do our best at this moment just to say that the next few minutes, we're going to make it all about Him. We're going to put Him number one. Whatever it is that's on our hearts and on our minds right now that's trying to distract us. And you know, those can be good things. It could be lunch with mama or grandmama. But now is the time that we've set apart for Christ Jesus and to make much of Him so that the Father be glorified. And I want to remind you too, the altar is always open and you don't have to wait on me to come to the altar, okay? But also we might need to confess our sins because we fail and fall every day. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, it is good to be with Your family today. God, it's good to be with my family, the ones that You've called me together and You've placed me with, Heavenly Father, Lord. And even though sometimes we may forget it or may not like it as much, but God, You've brought us together and You have made us Your body here at Thomas Village Baptist Church. And Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You, God, that You're working and You're moving and You're doing great things, even in the midst of a chaotic world. Heavenly Father, Lord, You're still working through Your people. And so, God, right now, Holy Spirit, I invite You into this place and that You move upon us through Your Word and through Your power. And, God, I pray You teach us what it means today to worship in spirit and to worship in truth. God, I pray and I ask You right now to forgive me of my sins and my failures and my inadequacies. I plead the blood of Jesus and I cling to the Holy Spirit, but thank God, more than that, You're holding on to me and Your blood is upon me. And Heavenly Father, Lord, it's available to whosoever today. Lord, even before we get going, maybe there's someone that's listening by radio or watching by Facebook or even in here, Lord, that's questioning their salvation today and not sure about where they'd spend eternity. Well, God, You said that we can know, not a hope-so, but a know-so salvation. And so, Lord, today I pray that through the Holy Spirit we'll make much of You, and it's in Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, if you would, take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 10. To the book of Luke, chapter 10. I don't know why, but it seems as lately I'm camping out in the book of Luke. And I promise you, I do not start out the week saying, okay, let's find another sermon out of Luke that we can preach. Matter of fact, if you were with us Wednesday night as you turn to the book of Luke, chapter 10, I told you I had an idea of what I was going to be preaching on, and it would have come, and I probably will be next Sundays, and then watch it not be, but anyhow, that's the plan now. It would be out of 1 John, the epistle of 1 John, but today is the 9th of May, the day that we have set apart to honor our mamas and to honor our grandmamas and all those ladies that have made a difference in our life, whether they be our biological mama or whether they be one that's just stepped up to the role and has filled into that role. Amen. So we're going to do that today. And I do want to just chime in on what Brother JC has already said. If you're watching us by Facebook, if you're with us by radio, or if any other way you might receive it, I want to tell you three things: that nobody loves you like Jesus, nobody's done so much for you as Jesus, and if you'll let Him today, He'll do even greater things than you can ever imagine. If you know me, as you're turning to Luke chapter 10, you've been around me enough, you realize that I don't feel bound by holidays. I don't feel like just because it is Mother's Day, then I am have to preach a Mother's Day message. Matter of fact, last year I looked at it, it was around May 16th, I think it was, and I preached out of Thessalonians chapter 5, being wide awake about the resurrection. But today I feel like the Lord would have me to recognize mothers, because it's a good thing to do. And believe you me, there is nobody like your mama. There is nobody that can ever take the place of your mother that has been there. And I'll be honest with you, and I'd say that many of you would amen this morning. But I have the best mama. Now, you may not amen that I have the best mama, but you would say that your mother was the best. And I have the best baby mama. My wife is the best mother that to my children that I could ever ask for. And so today we do want to talk to them and kind of encourage. But also, as we look in the book of Luke, chapter 10, you could take out the mother idea, or you could take out the it being a woman idea, and the truth will remain the same. The truth will remain the same, whether you're man, woman, boy, or girl, old, young, or in between. The truth of God never changes. Amen? And it's true to whosoever. And that's what's so awesome about the gospel message, is it doesn't matter who you are today, whether you're listening for the first time or if it's the umpteenth time that you've heard the truth of the cross and the love of Jesus Christ. Today you can be saved as long as the Holy Spirit is drawing you and you're willing to submit to His authority. Then today it can be the day of your salvation. Amen? So I'm going to ask you, if you would, to stand with me in honor of God's Word. We'll be in the book of Luke, chapter 10, beginning in verse 38. And we'll read through the rest of the chapter. And if I had a title for today's message, it would simply be Mother's Day 2021. Mother's Day 2021. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they, meaning Jesus and His apostles, that He entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received Him into her house. Now, we're going to be looking over in John 11 as well, and we know that this certain village is Bethany, is where He's probably at. And Martha has a sister there in verse 39. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. But Mary was cumbered about much serving, and came to Him, meaning Jesus, and said, "Lord, come, dost Thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Let's read that passage one more time. Not because I messed it up, that's why. "Now it came to pass, as they went, that He entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received Him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to Him and said, 'Lord, dost Thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she should help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" You may be seated as we go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name I come to You again, and I just plead Your blood. I ask for forgiveness. And Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm thankful, Lord, that it's not about how I speak it. It's not how loud or how soft. But God, it is the truth of Your word that changes life. And so, God, today I pray that Your word, Your truth, combined with the Holy Spirit right now, will break down barriers, go beyond the parking lot, through Facebook, and accomplish what You've set out to accomplish. And again, we thank you for mothers. We thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord, for your blessing and the gift that you have given to us in mothers. And God, we just ask today, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you encourage them, comfort them, and Lord, also pray that conviction be felt where conviction is needed. And it's in Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Again, I do want to say to every mother today, God bless you and thank you for all of the sacrifices you've made. And many of us will never know the sacrifices that mothers and grandmothers have made, because many times mothers and grandmothers do things, sacrifice, and never let on that they've sacrificed in it in any way. And I also want to tell those of you that may not have a mother, that your mother's gone on or she's distant from you, I want you to know that God put you on my heart early this morning. And I've been praying for you, and I pray that you know by the power of the Holy Spirit that your mama loved you and that she loves you, and that that is a precious gift from above. Well, as you know, I'm the kind of guy that likes numbers. I didn't say I'm good with numbers, but I like numbers, meaning that statistics, stats, and things like that, they kind of just help me see the picture better. You know what I mean? And I really need things to be spotlessly clear. You know, I'm one of those. So this week, as I was studying, I began to look up some statistics on mothers. Now, these statistics, I'm going to tell you where I get them from, but they come from either 2016 up to 2021, somewhere between there. And I'm going to give you where it was. According to InfoPlease.com, according to InfoPlease.com, there are 166 million women in the United States, give or take one or two. And about 43 million and a half are mothers. 43 million. That means, and that comes from InfoPlease.com, meaning that between the ages of 15 and 50, there are 43 million mothers. Now, if you take that compared to the number that are women in the United States, meaning that it didn't say how many were mothers above the age of 50. You know what I'm saying? So if we just use low numbers, that means somewhere around 75 to 80 million women, or roughly just below half of the women in America, are mothers. That's pretty awesome, ain't it? The average age that a woman becomes a mother is up from the last time they did it, which was 10 years ago. 10 years ago, the average age of a woman having a baby or a first child would have been 23. Now it's moved up to the age of 26. You know what the favorite names are? Emma and Noah. That's the two favorite names. Of those 43.5 million, listen to this. 72% of those mothers work. That's somewhere over about 3 million are working. Now, this was awesome. Higher education. Mothers that work, 88% of them now have a high school education. 84% of them have some college education. 82% have a bachelor's degree. Somewhere around 80 to 81% have a master's. And then about 80% have their doctorate or their PhD. That's awesome that they're mothers, but they're also highly educated mothers as well. 70% of mothers with children under the age of 18, 40% of households with kids under the age of 18, both parents work. Meaning that mama and daddy, that means that the children are on their own a lot. What do they call them, latchkey kids? I was one of those. I was a latchkey kid, and thank God that my mom and dad were. We're living in a time where it takes most of the time mother and father working a full-time job to keep the place going. In 2017, working mothers were the primary, or in 2017, 41% of mothers were the primary or the sole financial provider of their home, meaning that they were either single, the father was unemployed or making less than the mother, or the father had chosen and the wife had chosen that the father was going to stay at home and do child care while the mother did that. Now, does that mean he's less of a daddy? No, it doesn't mean that at all. doesn't mean that all. The Bible teaches us that we're to be the provider. What does that mean? That means that we're to provide spiritually, emotionally, all those things. You know what else? As a father in the Old Testament, before the judges came and before the priesthood, you know who was the priest of the home? Was the father. You know what one of his main goals was to do? Was to sacrifice. The Lord really touched me when I thought about that. So as the example of Christ and as the head or the high priest of our home, fathers, we're to be the example not only to our children but also to our spouse, the mothers, that we're to show them what it means to sacrifice. Then we see an estimated 13.6 million single parents, 80% of single parents are mothers. So can I just say today, mamas, you are awesome. You do great things. And there are a few things that stand out to me. When we talk about how many mothers there are in America, we see that almost just below half have the greatest calling that will ever be. And that's not just mama, but that means being a parent to a child, to a little boy or a little girl. Most mothers have more than one child. Remember I said it was 43.5 mothers or million mothers in America? They gave birth to some 90 million children in that time. So that's a lot of babies those mamas are giving birth to. Many mothers feel like they carry the majority of care and concern for their children. Work does not stop when the clothes are taken off and traded in for sweatpants or yoga pants for a mama. Mothers are amazing. I'd say that probably they're the closest thing to what a superhero really is. Many mothers feel as though nobody cares about them, their emotions and their concerns. Some of them, I'd say, maybe even some of you in here today, feel like you're all alone in this thing. Even though you may have good husbands and children that are trying and all that, some of them just, you want to scream out and say, "What about me? What about me?" As I read the last line from this passage, which said, "That which cannot be taken away." Mothers are expected to give, and to give. Most of the time with no thought of receiving or getting anything in return. But again, I just couldn't help but think, and I know my mother's been through this. I know my wife's been through this. I pray that neither one of them are there now, but that you get to those points. What about me? When's it my turn? Who's caring for me? Mothers, and again, I say that this is the truth for anyone who's in here today, but specifically for mothers, I want you to realize something, that today, wherever you're at, mama, whatever you're going through, God sees you. He has a specific name, and we're going to talk about that from the book of Genesis, which means El Roi, or it means the God who sees me. And if you don't remember anything else today, you just remember that there is a God who spun things into orbit, who spoke the stars and the sky and the planets into existence. He knows when the sparrow rises and He knows when the sparrow falls. But today, you're so important to Him, mama, that His eyes are upon you and He knows where you're at, what you're going through, and how you're feeling, and is able to empathize and sympathize with you where you're at this morning. Not only does He see you, but He knows you. And you know what? He desires for you to give you something, and He wants you to have something, like He tells right there at the end, which shall not be taken away from you. And praise God, maybe you already have it. Or maybe this morning you've never had it, but today's that day. I pray, if nothing else, that the reality of what Christ Jesus says will never be taken from you will become more real to you today, mama, than it has ever been before. The first thing I want us to look at, you say, "Brian, you're preaching about two women here." Yeah, but you'll understand where I'm coming from. I hope so, by the time we get to the end of this. But the first thing we need to recognize, mamas, and I pray that you understand this as well, and you're saying, "Listen here, big boy, you're a boy, you're a man, you don't know anything how I feel." You're right. That's why I'm depending upon Scripture today, all right? Okay? But listen what it says there. It says in verse 38, at the end of verse 38 and verse 39, it says, "And there was a certain woman named Martha, received him into her house, and she had a sister named Mary." First point, mothers come in many sizes, shapes, and skill sets. Mothers come, mamas you come in many sizes, many shapes, and many skill sets. Now Mary and Martha, they were sisters. But like it is with so many brothers and sisters today, down through the ages, all the way back up to Cain and Abel, while they may have come from the same bloodline, they were nothing really alike. Matter of fact, it almost seems that Mary and Martha were polar opposites at the end of it. Look at Martha. It says that when Jesus came that day, the way that she was described was that she was cumbered with many things. She was cumbered with many things. Or in other words, she had great anxiety over what? She had great anxiety over serving. Or her, that was her calling. Having the ability to serve others, to meet for others, to take care of others, like mamas do many times. That's part of your calling. She was cumbered, or she was had great anxiety about her ministry of service. She was letting it. Think about it. She wasn't just ministering to anybody. She was ministering to Jesus. And she was ministering to His apostles. How would you want it to be if Jesus was coming to your house today? Hey, I have no problem with the house being a little bit. I was talking to Brother Nathan about this the other day. You know what? A house that's lived in is going to be a little bit dirty. That's just the way it is. And if somebody's coming over, kick it under the couch or throw it in Mom and Daddy's room and shut the door. That's just the way it is. My wife tells me I clean at stuff. She says I don't really clean it, but I clean at it. No, I don't get down and move everything out the way. If I see it, I clean it. If I can't see it, out of sight, out of mind, let's go on with it. Amen. But that's the way my wife is. I think she was probably a lot like Mary. I think Mary was probably in there busy. She was probably spicking, spanning, and pine sawing and everything like that. You know what I mean? On Saturdays with my mama, you either stayed inside or you stayed outside. But you didn't come and go. Why? Because she was sweeping and you best not get in her dirt. She was mopping and you better not step on her wet floor. She was folding clothes and they better be in the right drawers when she goes around to see them. That's just the way it was. And Jesus wasn't coming over. Could you imagine what would have happened if Jesus would have come over with Edie Gunner's house? Woo! Hey, I think she watches, so I say I love you, Mama. But she would make you kick off your shoes at the door. But you couldn't go barefooted. You have to wear your socks. Can I get an amen from the Gunner bench? All right. Now, she's kind of got lax on that now that I'm old. I guess she's thought that it just ain't worth it. But look at Mary. She was cumbered by her anxieties. Her ministry, her service had become a tightness within her chest. I don't think she was enjoying Jesus being there that day. You know what I mean? I think she's kind of too caught up in what she felt like she had to do. Mamas, how many times has that happened to you? Things that you should be able to enjoy. Things that you think as a mama, other mamas are able to enjoy. But you feel like you've got to do more and go more and do this. Why? Because your service of being a mother, being a mother, being a wife, being a daughter, being a granddaughter, it gets cumbersome. It gets heavy sometimes. But then there's Mary. Maybe you're like a Mary. See, if I was a woman, I'd probably be more like Mary here. Look what it says to her. What was she doing? While the anxiety or the cumbersome burden of service was on her sister Martha, Mary, it says that she was sitting at Jesus' feet. You know, Mary probably didn't appreciate what Martha was doing then. She probably thought, Martha, you're too busy to even enjoy Jesus being in the house. And then Mary, she sat at Jesus' feet, or in other words, she was content to do nothing but look at and to listen to Jesus. You know what Martha probably thought of her? She's too heavenly minded to be of any earthly good. Can't do nothing with her. She's always reading. She's always talking about, and I know that's good, but you can take it a little too far. And Mary's taking it a little too far. Jesus, tell her to get up and get busy. Right? I mean, you probably have this. One of you in your marriage is probably a Mary, and others are, the other part is probably a Martha. It's probably just the way it is. You see, Mary irritated Martha so much that she went to Jesus and asked him, and he says, well, don't you, Jesus, Lord, and notice it was so fast, Lord, Lord, go to her and stir her up, because I'm the only one serving. I'm the only one doing anything. And again, I feel like mamas probably feel that probably 75, 80% of the time, if not more, even with a husband that does try. But here in Luke 10, 38 through 42, this is not the only place we read about Mary and Martha. In fact, this is probably not the most well-known account of Mary and Martha. If you look over in John chapter 11, verses 1 through 4, we read again about Mary and Martha, and we find out that they had another sibling. Do you remember who this sibling was? Lazarus. It was Lazarus. And we see that over there in John chapter 11, verses 1 through 44, so I'm not going to read it, but you go back and you read it and you'll see a little bit more. I think it gives you a little more insight on who Mary and Martha were as human beings and in their spiritual sense. But it tells us that Lazarus had become sick. And when Lazarus became sick, Mary and Martha sent to Christ Jesus, who was only like a day's journey away. He wasn't that far away. And they had faith in them that if Jesus would come and see about Lazarus, then Lazarus would have been healed. But over in John chapter 11, verse 17, it tells us that not only did Jesus wait and not come, but the Bible teaches us that He waited 4 days before He came. And even before He left where He was at, He told the apostles, He said, Lazarus is dead. Lazarus is dead. Jesus waited 4 days. Now, we know the end of the account. We know that Jesus goes to the tomb and He tells them to roll the tomb away, and He says, Lazarus, come forth, specifically calling out Lazarus because as the King of the resurrection, who is the resurrection, I believe if He had just said, come forth, there's no telling how many bodies would have come out that day. And He says once He came out that He was wrapped in His grave clothes, and He said, loose him and let him go. And that's a picture of salvation. We who are dead in our trespasses and sin, Jesus Christ moves in and He speaks through us through the breath of God, which is the Holy Spirit. And in that, new life is breathed, and the old dead man has to let go. Because why? Because Jesus said so. Because Jesus said so. And we know why Jesus waited 4 days. He tells us over there in John chapter 11, verses 41 through 42. He says, and Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, Father, I thank You that You have heard Me. I know that You always hear Me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that You have sent Me. Now, you got to remember, this is just a few days before He's going into Jerusalem for the last time. And He waited and did one of the greatest miracles right there at the end. Because you remember that day when He came in on Palm Sunday and they were saying, blessed is He, Hosanna, blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. Many of them had just heard about Mary and Martha's brother, Lazarus, and how He had brought him back from the dead. But you see, in this passage, John 11, 1 through 44, we see a little bit more about Mary and Martha. Look, in John 11, 19 through 23, the first one that we see mentioned again is Martha. Martha. Beginning of verse 19 of John 11, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met Him. But Mary remained seated in the house. What were they doing back in where we studied here? Remember, Martha was the one that was working. Mary is the one that was seated. Again, we see that. Verse 21, Martha said when she came to be the first that came to Jesus, Lord, if You had been here, my brother would have not died. But even now I know that whatever You ask from God, God will give it to You. And Jesus said, your brother will rise again. Again, we see that Mary, part of her ministry was going and doing. Going and doing. She was cumbered with service. And you know, right here, I kindly believe that staying in that house, she was probably going stir crazy having to be there at that house and to wait around and all that. Why? Because she had a calling on her life. And a calling was a part of the service. But now at this part, in this hard time, she was probably just twiddling her thumbs and really didn't know what. There was society. Society tells you how you're supposed to act in certain times. But that all don't always fit with who you are and the calling that you have on your life. And so what did she do when she found out Jesus was coming? Did she wait on Him? No. She got up and she met Him. She ran down the road. And then she basically made a statement which is almost to the point of asking a question. She said, but if you'd only been here, my brother had not died. If you wouldn't have waited 4 days, if you would have answered the prayer the way that I expected you to answer the prayer, then I would not be in the situation I'm in right now. But then there's Martha, or Mary. Or excuse me, well, before we get to Mary, we see that when she made that statement, Jesus looks at her and he says, but notice she still had faith. She said, but even now I know if you were to ask the Father, if you were to ask God, he'd give it to you right now. Even in her brokenness, even in her sorrow, we see that she was a great woman of faith. Great woman of faith. And what did Jesus tell her? Jesus said, I'm the resurrection. Basically he said, just trust me. Just trust me. You know who I am, then trust me. And then there's Mary. Verses 30 through 32. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but she was still in the place where Martha had met them. And when the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary rise up and go quickly, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. She was so broken that once when she knew Jesus was coming, she didn't even get up and go to him. And when she did get up, those that knew Mary, they didn't think she was going to Jesus. They thought she was going to the tomb to cry some more. But what happened? It says, now when Mary came to where Jesus was, verse 32 in John 11, where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet saying almost the exact words of what her sister had already said. Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. And Jesus talks to her and says, where have you laid him? And they go there, and we know how it ends. But Martha, we know that she was a go-getter and a doer. She went right on to Jesus. But I couldn't help but think, why didn't Mary get up and go to Jesus right then? You know, the Bible doesn't really tell us, does it? I couldn't help but think that maybe grief had so a hold of her. If you've ever lost somebody, you know that sometimes you're broken and you know you need to go to Jesus. You know that Jesus has the answers, but it just ain't in you right then. You don't have the strength to even get up and get down on your knees. Maybe she was bound up or tied up by those who were there to comfort her. You know how it is sometimes when you lose someone, people mean well when they come and they try to minister to you, when the whole time is you just want to be alone with Jesus. But then I also thought maybe, you know, she did pray the prayer like her sister. She did make the request that, Lord, if you come, he won't die. He's sick. And you say you love us. Maybe she was a little bit hurt or a little bit angry at Jesus because he didn't do it the way she thought it should be done. Now, mamas, I know that you're good mamas. Other people in here this morning, good Southern Baptist Bible Belt type people, we'd never publicly say that we're upset with God. We'd never publicly say that we're angry because of the way he's allowed some things to work out. But just because we won't publicly say it doesn't mean it ain't real. And mamas, you could be in this place. And if you were in a place, maybe things in your life hadn't worked out the way you want, if you're hurt and you feel anger against the Lord today, here's the thing, he already knows it. You might as well just tell him. Go ahead. Hey, fathers, maybe you're there. We ain't too godly that life can't beat us down and we just don't understand why. But here's what I was thinking as I looked at this. You can't judge Mary and Martha how godly they are, or did they do things right, or did they do things wrong, by this situation here in John 11. They're two different people, feeling two different things. Oh yes, it was the loss of the same individual, but you know what? We're not created alike, and we're going to act differently in certain situations. And here's the thing, mama, you've got to stop comparing yourself to what you think mamas ought to be. You've got to stop comparing yourself to other mothers. You've got to stop comparing yourself to an image that society has made that you'll never reach up to. You've got to be the mama that Jesus has created you to be, just like Mary had to be the Mary Jesus wanted her to be. And Martha had to be the Martha that Jesus created her to be. Don't compare yourself to Billy Joe's mama or Susie Jean's mama and all that. What they're not telling you is their house is always clean because they pay to have it cleaned every week. It's not her doing it. I want you to think about the different mamas in the Bible real quick. I'm not going to read a lot of scriptures. I want you to think about Eve, the mother of all mothers. She was probably the closest thing to a perfect mama that will ever be on this earth. And she had three sons, at least, more than that. We know she had more children, but she had three sons. She had Cain, she had Abel, and she had Seth. And again, think about it. She's the closest thing to perfection of a mom that we will ever know because she's only one generation, really not even one generation from the fall. But yet, think about what happened in her life. She lost two of her sons. Cain killed Abel, so she lost Abel to murder. And then God banished Cain, and she probably didn't see Cain ever again. And then she was left with Seth. Do we think that she was a perfect mother? No. But do we think she was a terrible mother? No. We can't judge her by what her children had done. We can't judge her by the relationship with her children. The circumstances and the choices that her children made caused it, not the way she raised her children. You see, what about Hagar? Hagar tells us over in Genesis chapter 16. Hagar was a handmaid to Sarah and Abraham, Sarai and Abram, who would be, as we know, Sarah and Abraham. She was used as a surrogate mother by Sarah and Abram when they wouldn't wait on the promises of God. And then after the baby was born, Sarah, because of her sin, got to a place that she despised her, meaning that she looked on her contempt and hatred. And said, told Abram, just get her out of here. Do what you want to do with her. You ever been to that point? I don't care what you do. Just get her away. And what did she do? She got to a point to where it was so bad that she thought they were going to die. She did. She got to a point that she thought they was going to die. And so she took Ishmael, who was going to be a wild donkey, and still today as a lineage of Abraham and his sin, all that fighting we see in the Middle East between Israel and other nations, right here. But she says she got to a point that she put him away from her, and the Bible says basically why'd she do it? Because she didn't want to watch her baby boy die. But an angel came to her. He said, what are you doing out here basically? If you want to read it, it's like I said, it's over in Genesis 16 verse 4. And the angel asked her, so what are you doing here? And basically she said, I'm running. She hates me. I'm running from Sarah. She hates me. She's trying to get away from the trouble life. You know what I mean? And guess what the angel says? Well, here's good news and bad news. Okay? God's going to take care of you and He's going to take care of your son. But you got to go back. Could you imagine how hard of a life that was for her? How it messed with her head? You know, that you're second rate, basically. Your child's second rate. But yet, what did she say? It says over in the book of Genesis chapter 21, I'll give you the verse in just a little bit, but it says that she was there. She called upon the Lord, El Roi, because I have seen the God who sees me. Sitting out in the wilderness waiting on her child and herself to die, God showed Himself. You see, nobody, you can't compare yourself to another mama. You know why? Because your children is whole different. Your situation is whole different. And even if it was alike, you're unique. No one else is like you. What about Jochebed? How many of you know who Jochebed was? That name ain't used much. That's Moses' mama. If you look over in the book of Exodus chapter 1, it tells us that Jochebed lived during a time when the Israelites were the slaves of the Egyptians. And Pharaoh had got so fearful that the Israelites were multiplying so fast that they were going to take over Egypt. You know what he told all the handmaidens or maybe the birth delivering mamas? He said in Exodus chapter 1 verse 22, then Pharaoh commanded all his people, every son that is born to the Hebrews you shall cast into the Nile. but you shall let every daughter live. Wow, could you imagine being an Israelite mother at that time? Jochebed. I got to let my child die. I've got to just stand back and watch as they throw him in the Nile and he drowns. No, you know what? She made, remember the story, she made a thatch basket and put the little baby boy named Moses, or would become Moses, in it. And she had to make the hard decision to let him go. Oh, how we look hard on people, on women sometimes when they have to make the decisions that they can't take care of the child. But this mama was at a point knowing that the best thing I can do at this point is to put him in the river and let him go. And you remember what happened? How amazing is God? It says that Pharaoh's daughter found Moses. And that Moses' sister was watching. And when she saw it, the Pharaoh's daughter didn't know what to do. And Moses' sister, I think it was Miriam, went to her and said, "Hey, you want me to get you a handmaid? You want me to get me a nursemaid so that they can take care of your baby?" And guess who it was? It was Jochebed. And God brought Jochebed back to the child that she willingly pushed away. But she trusted him. Isn't that awesome, mama? Shoot, that's even awesome, daddy. Amen. And then, let's jump to the New Testament real quick. How about over in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5? I remind you, this is Paul writing. "I remind you of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now I am sure it dwells in you." Now this was the Apostle Paul writing to his friend, his protege, the one that would carry on his ministry after his death, Timothy. And we don't know much about Timothy's childhood. But what we do know is this, is that he was born probably in Lystra or in Derbe. And he was born to a Greek father, meaning that he was one that believed in all the different Greek gods. But that Timothy's grandmother and mother, they were Jews, but yet they were completed Jews. They were converted Jews. They believed in Christ Jesus. And Lois, the grandmother, and Eunice, his mother, took upon themselves that we're going to raise Timothy up in the faith of Christ Jesus, and we're going to lead him in that way, and we're not going to let the world have at him, but we're going to instill to him the truth of God. And can you imagine how hard that must have been, especially living in a home where the father really didn't seem to care much about religious things, but yet the mother and the grandmother were determined. There's many today that are living that out. You see, you can't compare yourself to other mamas. You have to be who you are. Why? Because mamas come in many different shapes, sizes, and skill sets. Just like Mary and Martha were different, so is every different mother, every other mother. But not only that, we can see there in verse 40 of Luke chapter 10, it says, "But Mary," again, "was cumbered about with much serving." You remember what that means? She had much anxiety about ministering. And then, not only did Mary recognize it, but Jesus knew it too. Look there in verse 41. He says, "Martha, Martha, you're cared for, you're worried, you're troubled about many things." You see, just as mamas come in many different shapes, sizes, and skill sets, we also have to understand that there are many, quote-unquote, good distractions for mothers. There are many good things that can distract our mamas. Remember, when it says that she was cumbered, that means she had a great anxiety. She was passionate about her service. She was passionate about her calling. But what had happened was, instead of her calling pointing her to Christ, her calling had become the main thing and pushed Jesus Christ to the side. The ESV says, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and you are troubled about many things." Again, imagine. This is Jesus coming to her house. And it wasn't just Jesus coming to her house. He had his disciples with him. And when we think disciples, we think 12. But the Bible makes it clear that he had a lot of followers with him. So he might have had only 12. But you remember, when anybody found out where Jesus was, it didn't take long for a multitude to gather to that place. And then, think about this. You're Mary, you're Martha, and Jesus is coming to your house. Do you think you're going to keep your mouth shut about that? No, you're going to say, Jesus, is it all right if I invite Brother Paul? Is it okay? Is it okay that I say to Brother Jimmy and Sister Yvonne that you're coming to the house today and it would be okay for them to come over? Can you imagine what she's going through? And man, she's one of those that is a worker, so she's keeping it clean and doing all that kind of stuff. And she should have been able to enjoy the blessing of Jesus. But instead, the blessing she allowed to become a distraction. That's the same thing that happens to us as parents many times. I mean, think about this. God has blessed me with two great women in my life. Like I said, my mama and my wife. But I watch them, and they've got, number one, the growth and the maturing of their children. They got to make sure that that's done right. You know what I mean? You got to make sure their schooling and their education is coming along properly. And man, in the year of COVID, that's sure been a booger. But then not only that, you want them to be well-rounded, right? You want them to fit in into society and all that mess. So we've got to have them playing sports, playing in the band, doing all that stuff. So we've got to have them there at this time. We've got to pick them up at that time. Not really giving any thought to anything else. Because why? Because they're our children. And we want them to have what we didn't have. And we want them to have the best. And we want them to be present in. Amen? No, we want them to be ball stars so that they can make a lot of money and bring it back home to us. That's what we really want. So we've got that distraction. But then, my mother and my wife, two of the most driven women I've ever seen in their careers. God has blessed me to be able to watch them and to learn from them. And to see how they give all that they've got. But you know what that means? I've watched it in my wife. I've watched it in my mama. You don't leave the job at the job. You bring it home with you. Those cares and those issues you bring with you, they come home with you. So what? You're being distracted. And every one of these, I've seen it in my wife, I've seen it in my mother, I've seen it in you. It's a part of who she is. It's a part of her calling. As a mother, as a worker. And then there's other relationships, okay? Because if you ain't careful about it, when the children graduate, you won't know your spouse. So you got to spend some time with your spouse. You got to work with your spouse. But not only that, even us husbands who are good ones, you notice I said us, right? Amen. Are really just big babies. You know what? I ain't a good patient. So it's not been easy for my wife the past 3 weeks around the house. And you know what else? She does most of the house care. She does most of the shopping. She makes sure that the youngins have doctor's appointments and all that kind of stuff. You know, that's just part of being a mama. Then we're in that age where you still have to have the relationship with your parents, you know, and your grandparents. But it gets to that point to where they become weaker and weaker. And you, who were once being taken care of, have to move into the stage of the caretaker. And that's work. It's not easy. And you know what? And I'm not trying to be mean to any man who takes care or whatever, but normally that falls on the daughter because women are mainly the caretakers. Just happens that way. And I'm not taking away from any man what you do. I'm just telling you the truth of things. And you know what? I've not even mentioned the church. We've not even talked about her working in Awana, her teaching in Sunday school, her doing VBS and all those other things. Where is time for Jesus? You see, here's the thing, and you've heard me say it before. There are so many good things out there. Because think about all those things that I mentioned. Would anybody say that if that's what you've been doing and that's what you've been up to, would anybody say you're doing bad things? No, they're good things, but they're not God things. They were taking away from her relationship instead of adding to. 1 Corinthians 10:31, so whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all things for the glory of the Lord. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 says something very similar. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do everything for the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father in His name. And most of the women I know, most godly Christian women and mothers, that's what they're trying to do. Everything. Remember when I said I thank God that I was able to watch my mom and I was able to watch my wife and the way that they work and do things? You know why? Because they wanted to glorify the Lord. I believe that's what Martha wanted to do, don't you? Cleaning that house and getting right. She wanted to be just right for the Lord.
But you see, the good easily became a distraction, and it robbed her of her God. It robbed her of the closeness with her God. You see, as Christians today, we seek fulfillment elsewhere, even in good things, and we end up finding ourselves empty and missing something. Why? Because there's a place inside of every human being that only Jesus can fill. And if He's not going to fill that, then it's going to be left empty, whether it be mother, father, child, daughter, whatever. Mamas come in many shapes, sizes, and skill sets. There's many good things that are out there today that try to distract mothers. And then the last thing, I'm going to let Jesus speak, but I do think it's the most important thing for a mama to know. Verse 42. But there is one thing that is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall never be taken away from her. Wow. Is that not good? He's saying there's one thing that is most necessary. Of all the other things that she's doing, because you imagine, what was she doing? Cleaning, cooking, all this, hemming, whatever, you know, whatever. I mean, she was a house. She's taking care of the household. That's what she was doing. But I want you to notice, most important thing, while her focus may have been wrong, Jesus never stopped loving her. John 11:5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Why would he use Martha's name and not Mary's? I don't know, but I do know this. That's one short verse, but the Holy Spirit moved on John the Beloved to make sure that he wrote, and Jesus loved Martha and her sister. He did it on purpose. Because he loved Martha. Even in her bad times, even in her failures, which to the world didn't even look like a failure, Jesus wanted her to know he loved her. You know why? And now the Holy Spirit led John the Beloved to write that, just as he did for Paul to write over in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God shows his love to us, even that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. You know why God wrote that? I can tell you. Because, mama, we get out of focus. Even as good Christian mamas, even as good Christian daddies, we get out of focus and we don't let Jesus be number one in our life because we got all these other relationships and all these other services and ministries that we have to do. That is a part of who we are. And in doing that, we get distracted. But Jesus wants us to be reminded, I see you. I know where you're at. I love you. You know what today? I know your children love you. I know your husband loves you. There's people that loves you. But more than all that love combined, mama, Jesus, your Savior, loves you. He loves you. But not only that, but Jesus had to correct her, didn't he? Nobody likes being corrected. Do you think she liked it when she said, Mary's really doing the right thing right now? Do you think she was like, oh, I'm so glad that he pointed out to me that my sister is doing better than me at this time? Don't think that went through her mind? No, she's probably going, it's always like that. She's always been the one that gets away with anything. But you know why he corrected her? Because Jesus wanted to be closer to her. You understand that? She's up working and doing that, and Jesus wants her to be there at his feet, listening, letting him love on her. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all who are heavy laden, then I will give you rest. He wanted her. He wanted to take her burden from her so that he could love on her. But not only that, do you know why Jesus corrected her? Because he wanted her to be close. He wanted her to have him closer to her. Revelation 3:19. Those whom I love, I reprove and I discipline. Be zealous. Be excited. She didn't have a problem being excited or going and getting it, did she? She just had the problem finding the right place to direct it. He says, repent. Be zealous. And make me the most important thing. Make me, because I am the most necessary thing. And then, why did he do it? Why did he? Because He was the most needful thing. You know, today we try to compare ourselves and judge ourselves by the world. We try to value ourselves by our job and how we look as a spouse or how we look as a parent, when all of that has already been determined. When Jesus said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." And the blood flowed. And He said, "It is finished." You know what? He said, "Mama, you're worth me dying for. I love you enough to die for you." And you know what? You might try to compare yourself to other things, but you're still my daughter. You might lose your focus, but I know right where you're at. And when you're ready, I'll receive you, because I'm the most needful thing. I'm the most necessary thing. Oh, isn't that awesome? And mothers, today, if I had to wrap all this up in just one phrase, this Mother's Day 2021, I simply ask today, will you make Jesus the most important thing in your life? You know, stop allowing the world to try to determine who you are. Stop letting all the good things rob you of the great thing with Jesus Christ Jesus. And we've seen and looked in the lives of two godly women that there are times where we fall away. But as Hagar said over in Genesis chapter 16, verse 11, she cried unto the Lord, El Roi. Why? Because she has seen or met Him that sees her. The God that sees her. As our piano player comes and our song director comes, I know I've went a little bit over this morning, but mamas, you're so special, you're worth me going over it. Amen. Didn't that sound good? All right. But I want to tell you this, mama. It's easy. It's easy to get caught up in the rigmarole. It's easy to get caught up in the daily commotion. Why don't you today here at the altar, or maybe where you're at, you just say, as a mother, as a wife, you may not even be a wife, you might be a mother, you might be like Hagar. You see, there's nothing going on in your life that God cannot meet and He has not already dealt with. Why don't you just say, be the most important thing in my life? Maybe today you're a spouse of a good mama, like I am. Will you come and pray for her today and say, Lord, you've made her good, more than I deserve. But I'm praying right now that you make her great. I'm praying a double portion on my wife. I'm praying a double portion on my mama. Will you come right now and just lift up your mother today? Maybe your mother has gone home. Maybe you just not need to say thank you for my mama. Thank you for the blessings that you've given me. But whatever, maybe today the most important thing is whether your mama, daddy, children, grandchildren, whatever. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, He says, Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's stand. The altar is open. Whatever your need is, won't you come? Maybe you want to be a better mama. Won't you come and just say, Lord, make me a better mama. Make me the mama you died for me to be. I don't want to be the mama that I think I ought to be or the world says I ought to be. I want to be the mama that you created me to be and the mama you died for me to be. Maybe as a daddy, you need to pray that prayer today. Maybe today you need to come and pray for your mother, for your grandmother. Maybe you need to come and pray for a lost loved one that you know your mother prayed for or she is praying for. Whatever the need. Maybe you need to become a member of Thomas Village. What better day than Mother's Day 2021 to say, that's when we become members. But whatever the need is, today's your day. Bless you and thank you for being with us today. Thank you for putting up with my long-windedness. Thank you for bearing with us as we're closer to the end of the COVID restrictions than we've ever been. But that doesn't mean we're out of them. That means you still got to work with us a little bit, okay? But we're getting there. In Jesus' name. And praise God, enjoy your afternoon today. Are there any words of testimony, any words of praise before we close out? I'm going to ask Brother Otis if he would to begin to make his way forward to close us out in a word of prayer this morning. Amen. 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 Keep praying. You remember on Wednesday night, I told you about Sister Lexi Roten. She called me or texted me that day and said she had a test she was studying for that night and she wanted us to pray for her. Guess what she made? An A. That's right. That's right. That's an answer to prayer. So keep praying in Jesus' name. Enjoy your afternoon, and God willing, we'll see you Wednesday night. All right? Nobody loves you like Jesus, not even your mama.
Let us pray. Father God, we come humbly praising you for your goodness, your mercies, your grace. We pray your blessings upon our church family. So many needs in our church family. We're all family, but we know, as the pastor said, families are different, and all families have issues. If you don't have an issue, you're probably going to be a liar. I'm not calling you a liar, but it's up to you and the Lord. But all of us have issues and problems to deal with every day. They might not be big, but we have issues. And Father, we just ask you to be with our church family to bless us, not because we're good, but because you love us. And we pray your blessings upon each mother here today that's giving birth to children, those mothers yet to come, who are going to give birth to children. And we just ask you to be watching over them and protecting them, and that they be brought up in the admonition and the love of the Lord. We ask each blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you.